Buffalo Sabres reporter Bill Hoppe is back with us for the season finale of WBFO's Behind the Bench. I'm Omar Fatou. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Omar.
The big news this week was the firing of head coach Phil Housley after two seasons on the job. Not a big surprise to many fans. The Sabres had a dreadful second half, missed the playoffs yet again. And here we are once again with another coaching change. That's certainly not a healthy place for this organization to be in.
No, it's not. And Buffalo's really become a coaching graveyard. This is six coaches in a little over 6 years. No one's lasted more than two seasons. And when they fired Dan Bylsma 2 years ago, when they fired Tim Murray, I said the Sabres just have to commit to something. They have to try to see something through. And here we are 2 years later, and Phil Housley is gone. And on one hand, yes, I do understand the firing. After their great start, after finishing dead last a season ago, they were pretty awful for 4 months, especially during the winter. But at the same time, the roster's not very good. I don't think most coaches would have any success with the roster that was assembled. I would have kept Phil Housley. The Sabres' struggles this year, last year, the last 7, 8 years, the Sabres' problems go far beyond the coach, far beyond Phil Housley. This is an organizational problem from the top down. And sure, Phil Housley had his flaws. You can question some of his personnel decisions, some of his game management, sometimes the things he said before or after games. But 2 years ago, he was the league's hottest coaching candidate. And this is a Hall of Fame defenseman, a guy who paid his dues and his assistant coach, as a junior coach. He coached high school. When you give him a team like the Sabres have had the last couple of years, every flaw he has is going to show. And it would have been like that with a lot of coaches. And the human side of it was that this was basically Phil Housley's dream job. He played his first 7 years with the Sabres. He came here as an 18-year-old. Long before he coached the Sabres, I talked to him about Buffalo, about the Sabres, and he always spoke fondly of it. And he felt like he was coming home. And like no other coach I've seen, he tried to instill a special pride in being a Sabre, representing the city. He had a lot of team-building activities. I know one before the season, I think they got together and made a saber sword. He put pictures of sabers from the past around the locker room. He put a buffalo head in the locker room. He had pictures of team events around the locker room. There were pictures of sabers greats outside the locker room. So he did more than anyone I've ever seen in just trying to instill a special pride in being a member of the team, a member of the community.
Well, general manager Jason Bottrell took some blame for the situation, saying he didn't assemble a good enough roster. Fair to say he's on the clock now.
Yes, he's definitely on the clock. It's been 2 years since he took over. The Sabres are no better than when he took over 2 years ago. And by firing Phil Housley, he puts the spotlight firmly on himself. And if he gets this coaching hire wrong, he's probably not going to get another chance to hire another coach. To me, what's already haunting Jason Bottrell is trading Ryan O'Reilly. I mean, one of the league's most versatile centers and an NHL all-star, a guy who just led the St. Louis Blues to a very unlikely playoff berth. To take a center who plays that many meaningful minutes out of the lineup and to basically replace him with very little or nothing, it really handcuffed Phil Housley, and I think it helped lead to the Sabres' demise this season.
An announcement on Housley's replacement could come any day now. Who are some of the names we should have our eyes on?
Well, the number one name right now is Todd McLellan, who was fired from the Edmonton Oilers earlier this season. He had a very successful run with the San Jose Sharks. He won a Calder Cup in the AHL with the Houston Aeros. He won a Stanley Cup as an assistant with the Detroit Red Wings. And he's a veteran coach, obviously, and I think the direction after going with Phil Housley, a first-time coach, is the Jason Bottrell wants a veteran coach. There's too much riding on this to hand over the keys to someone who's never ran their own bench at the NHL level. And McLellan's an interesting candidate. He had a very good run with the Sharks. He got to a couple of conference finals. I think he had a couple teams that people thought could have won a cup. Right now, he's the only coach that's had success in Edmonton in the last 13 years. He got to the second round 2 years ago. It looked like that team was coming together and was going to be a contender for a long time, but they fell apart just like the Sabres. So that's one name to watch. Elaine Vigneault, who's coaching Team Canada's entry at the World Championship next month. That's a team that Jason Bottrell's running with Ron Hextall and Ron Francis. That's a name to watch. Elaine Vigneault got to a cup final with the New York Rangers. He got to a cup final with the Vancouver Canucks. I think he's going to coach in the NHL again, whether it's this upcoming season or in the near future. I think he would be another safe candidate, so to speak. If you want to look at candidates who haven't been behind an NHL bench before, there's Chris Taylor in Rochester. Jason Brattle knows him well. They were teammates. He's had a successful two-year run with the Amerks. Jason Brattle comes from Pittsburgh, and the Penguins won two cups by promoting their AHL coaches during the season. Dan Bylsma 10 years ago, and Mike Sullivan 3 years ago. So there's a history there with having success promoting AHL coaches. But my thought is it will be a veteran coach.
You were in the room on Monday as players cleaned out their lockers. What did they have to say about Housley's firing?
Well, they took it on themselves. They said they had to be better. It wasn't about Phil Housley, and I agree with them. And I think that's what you expect them to say, but it's very true. I mean, from everything I saw from Phil Housley over 2 years, the Sabres were prepared to play. They were put in the right situations, and for a little bit there in October and November, we saw that. We saw what the team could be, but as a whole, they just couldn't do it every night. And if you're a player, you should be embarrassed. I mean, a Hall of Fame player comes back to the Sabres. As I said, the league's hottest coaching candidate 2 years ago. You should want to play for a guy like that. And they weren't able to, and I put that squarely on them.
Well, looking back on the season as a whole, we had that 10-game winning streak in November. The Sabres were in first place at the time, and then it just all went downhill. What went wrong?
Well, I think if you look at the 10-game winning streak, I mean, the Sabres were overachieving. They really weren't that good. And the thought then was that they're probably not this good. They're not going to finish first overall, but they're at least a playoff team. And they were so far off being a playoff team. It was to think that they won 10 games in a row earlier this season, it's pretty ridiculous. You can slice and dice their struggles a million different ways, but I think the bottom line is that the roster just is not good enough. They need more depth. They need more skilled players up front, top six forward scorers. They need more puck-moving defensemen. They need more third and fourth liners. They needed better goaltending down the stretch. I mean, that's a long list for this offseason. So the Sabres have a long road ahead of them. You wonder what's going to happen this offseason because they still have so many needs.
Well, there were some positives. A terrific rookie season from number one pick Rasmus Dahlin. Jack Eichel scored 82 points. Sam Reinhart took a big step forward. Jeff Skinner scored 40 goals. He was acquired last offseason. But as we discussed last week, he is a free agent, and we're not sure if he'll be back with this team.
Yes, part of you thinks if he wanted to be here that he would have already been locked up by now. But on the other hand, I think being around him basically every day, he wanted to put that on the back burner. He wanted to concentrate on the season. Now that the season's over, he'll probably focus on that. It's a big decision. He can go wherever he wants. He'll get paid handsomely, probably $8, $9 million a year over a long-term contract. What's clear is that he really does like playing Buffalo, as far as I can tell. I think he likes the community. I think he likes the organization. He likes playing with Jack Eichel. And the Sabres have that going for them. They have exclusive rights now for the next almost 3 months until July 1st. My thought is that he will eventually re-sign here. But that said, he hasn't re-signed yet, and every day is another day that the clock ticks toward July 1st. And you mentioned Rasmus Dahlin. I think it's only one season, but I think he's almost taken for granted a little bit. People expected him to be good right away, and he was good right away. And I think how well he played got lost in the Sabres' struggles. And I mean, he had some moments that he looked like an 18-year-old at times. I mean, what else would you expect? But by and large, his rookie season was terrific. I mean, for an 18-year-old to step into the NHL and do what he did, play 82 games, it was really remarkable. And I don't think that should be taken for granted. It was probably one of the greatest rookie seasons by an 18-year-old defenseman, a teenage defenseman in NHL history.
Well, the NHL draft lottery was held Tuesday. The Sabres will pick seventh in this year's draft. And that'll wrap up another season of WBFO's Behind the Bench. Bill, thanks for your insights all season long. We'll see you back in the fall.
It's been fun, Omar. Thank you for having me again.